Psalm 119, 25 through 32. And the psalmist continues, says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." John Wesley once wrote, "Even in the greatest afflictions, we ought to testify to God that in receiving them from his hand, we feel pleasure in the midst of the pain from being afflicted by him who loves us and whom we love." Elizabeth Elliot, a missionary wife of Jim Elliot, who was martyred in Ecuador, wrote, "I am not a theologian or a scholar, but I am very aware of the fact that pain is necessary to all of us. In my own life, I think I can honestly say that out of the deepest pain has come the strongest conviction of the presence of God and of the love of God." John Wesley and Elizabeth Elliot, two God-fearing individuals who made a great impact for the name of Christ on earth, were two individuals who endured much despair in this life. And their words and testimony teach us that seasons of affliction and pain are seasons in which our greatest spiritual growth can come. And as we continue our study in Psalm 119 tonight, we find more and more through the psalmist's words that he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. The more we read his words, the more we can sense his weakness and his pain. But the more we read his words, the more we can also sense the passionate desire for God in the midst of such weakness and pain. We must remember why God chooses to divinely inspire and record David's words here in this psalm. Why did God allow David, who we think is the author of this psalm, why did God allow him to go through much heartache? Why did God allow him to go through many dark days? And why did God choose to record David's word in his word? Well, we remember Paul's words in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So David's words in Psalm 119 have been divinely inspired, were written in this book we call the Bible, so that we can learn from them. And learning so that we can have hope. And God, in His sovereign purposes and will, gave us this psalm to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to give us hope. And so tonight, from this fourth section of this alphabetical psalm, Psalm 119, there are three things I want us to consider. And as we consider them, I pray that God, in His grace, will use it to teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and give us hope. The thing I would like to consider first tonight is the psalmist's petition. That's the first point. The petitions of the psalmist. And if we remember back to our first lesson, we will remember that the book of Psalms was Israel's ancient hymn book. It is a book of praise. It is a book of worship to God. And like the songs we sing today, the words that are written here in this book ought to be prayed to God. And we pray in our songs, at least we should. And we sing the song, "Revive us, revive us again." We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love. And then we sing the chorus, "Revive us again." And as we sing this song, it is really a prayer of our heart. At least it should be. We worship God through song by singing, "Great is thy faithfulness. It is well with my soul." And so it is here in this songbook, in this book of praise. It is hymns. They are songs that have been sung, and even currently by some are still sung. But we need to remember in these songs there are heartfelt prayers. And we saw last week the author's confrontation with those who were speaking against him. Evil words, accusations, misrepresentations were being hurled at him like great stones. And the flames of persecution were arising higher and higher. And though others hated him and were against him, and though he was physically and spiritually weary, we read of his godly response. "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." And we see here the response of David when he is confronted with the evilness of mankind, when he is confronted with persecution, with prideful man, he immediately turns to the Word of God. He does not turn to self-help books. He does not turn to Oprah or Dr. Phil. He does not turn to other counsels. He turns to the Word of God. And this ought to be our response when we are physically weak and spiritually fatigued. For the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29, "God giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength." And how does God give power? How does God give strength? Well, God gives power and strength by the power of his word. The author of this word is the Holy Spirit. And we who are Christians have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. So when we go to God's Word, we have the divine author, the Holy Spirit, bringing His Word, God's Word, to our hearts and to our mind. And that is reviving us, quickening us, giving us life and power and strength. So we see that the psalmist is confronted with heartache. He is confronted with despair and discouragement. And he immediately turns to the Word of God. And this should be our response. But we see here in this section, he also turns to prayer. There is another habit in the psalmist's life, and this is the habit of prayer. And he does not only pray when everything is going good, no. His habit is to pray when he is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And so we see his petitions. We read of his prayers in verses 25 through 29. Notice his spiritual state here, verse 25. He says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." And we see his spiritual state, and this phrase, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust," gives us an illustration of how far removed from hope and peace that he is. In the times of the author of our psalm, in the East, those mourning in times of sorrow would place dust on their heads and they would sit in ashes. And here the psalmist is downcast and discouraged. His soul was cleaving. That word cleave is the word glue. His soul was stuck, in a sense, to the earth. That is, he desired to die. He would rather face death than go through the circumstances that he is currently going through. He waited on the balance and he says, if it would be better for me to live, then I would live. If it would be better for me to die, I would die. And he's looking at both and he's deciding, boy, I think it would be better for me to just perish and be with the Lord. His soul is cleaving unto the dust. And he knows that when the body dies, the body is buried and goes back into the earth. So he is desiring to perish. He is desiring to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And he's in a sad, miserable condition, a sad, miserable state. And in such a state, what do we find him doing? We find him praying. And what does he pray for? He prays for life. Desiring death, he prays for life. Quicken thou me. In other words, cause me to live. Give me vigor. I am weak. I cannot go on by myself. I cannot go on in my own strength. I am dependent upon God and God's power to get me through another day, to worship him another week. So he's praying for life. And he's praying for life through the means of God's word. What does the Bible tell us in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? For the word of God is quick and powerful. That means that the word of God is active. It is a living book, and it is powerful. So his source for renewal, his source for life, is the Word of God. Now this is important because there are many people who call themselves Christians who go to other means for life. Some go to a confessional booth, confessing their sins to a priest, hoping that will give them life, spiritual vigor, hoping that will give them a spiritual revival. Others pray three times a day on their prayer mat facing a certain direction, and they are depending upon this to give them life and refreshment spiritually. And still others are involved in Christian activities. Others involved with even denying themselves physically in certain ways, hoping that that will give some light spiritually. But we read here in this verse that spiritual life comes through a spiritual book. It comes through the Word of God. If you want to see a Christian truly living the abundant Christian life, I'll show you a Christian who loves this word, who obeys this word, who meditates in this word. But if you want to see a Christian who is dead as a doornail, I'll show you a Christian who is ignoring this word, who uses this Bible as a decoration on their bookshelf. And so we need to see that the Word of God gives life. And especially life during trying times. Christians, how we need the Word of God when we are most discouraged. And sometimes that can be the hardest time to reach over to the Word of God and read it. But don't let Satan win that battle. We need the Word of God. We need to meditate upon it. We need to run to it so it can give us life, so it can remind us that life is worth living. And that this life is not all that there is. There is a life to come. There is a judgment to come. And when we turn to the Word of God and we are reminded of these truths, we are revived. We are awakened spiritually. So the first thing the psalmist prays for, he is praying for spiritual awakening, spiritual quickening. And let me give an announcement here. That's why we need a Bible conference. That's why we as a church schedule Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday meetings. Because it's a time for us to turn off the TV, to turn off the iPhone, and to stay up maybe an hour extra at night, and to be soaked with the Word of God as a church family. And how our souls are often refreshed after we leave a Bible conference. And sometimes we enter into the Bible conference so discouraged, so downcast, like the psalmist, and we are reminded by the Word of God, and it is the Word of God that brings spiritual vigor, spiritual life. And so first prayer request we see here from the psalmist is a prayer request for spiritual awakening. Then notice in verses 26, 27, and 30, the second prayer request through this dark time that he is going through, we see he's praying also for spiritual understanding. He prays for spiritual quickening. Then he prays for spiritual understanding. Verse 26, I have declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. And then verse 30, he says, in verse 29, grant me thy law graciously. And what is the psalmist doing here? He's desiring spiritual understanding. And last week, we looked at the truth of God's illumination through his word. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we see here that the psalmist turns to the teacher of all teachers. He turns to God himself because only God can teach him correctly. Only God can open up the understanding of his heart. Only God can turn on the light, so to speak, and cause him to understand the truths that God is speaking. And this was Paul's prayer request in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read this to you. Ephesians chapter 1. In verses 15 through 21, Paul is praying for the believers in Ephesus, and he prays for their spiritual understanding. And this is an important prayer request when we pray to God, and especially when we pray to God through times of trial, that we would pray for spiritual understanding. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What does he pray? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, which when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Paul here prays for the Christians in Ephesus, and he's praying that their eyes, their spiritual eyes might be opened, their understanding might be opened, and open to the power of God, open to the attributes of God, open to the beauty of Jesus Christ. And during times of trials, if we're honest, we are susceptible to forget. Sometimes we're so focused inward on what we're going through. Sometimes we're so focused on the circumstances around us and how we're going to fix the circumstances around us that we forget to meditate in God's Word. And even when we open up God's Word, they're just mere words on a page. There's no meaning, there's no meat, there's no life. And we read the phrase over and over and over, and it's dead. So the psalmist prays for spiritual understanding. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Grant me thy law graciously. And how we need to pray for spiritual understanding all the time. That we would go to God's Word and we would go with a teachable spirit. Lord, teach me your Word. Lord, quicken me according to thy Word. Lord, give me something to meditate upon today. Give me some truth. Give me some promise that I can take with me in my heart throughout the day. And we need to go to God in prayer, not only for spiritual quickening, but also for spiritual understanding. Third prayer request tonight, we see that he also prays for spiritual strength. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Again, we see the state of his soul. He's in despair. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Notice where the strength comes from. The word of God. And unless God grant us strength, we will remain weary. We will remain discouraged. We will remain overcome by sin, overcome by the world, our flesh, and the devil. And so we ought to pray for spiritual strength. And Paul, again, prays for this specific prayer request to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. He says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened by might in his Spirit in the inner man. How does the Spirit strengthen us? Through his word. So you see how the psalmist's words here really dovetails with Paul's words when he is praying in the New Testament. And you wonder if Paul, the apostle, was influenced by these prayers, by these psalms in Psalm 119. And so when you pray, pray also for spiritual strength. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. This should be our prayer. Understanding without God's Spirit, without his blessing, we will stray. Our heart will grow in love with the things of this life. And so we pray for spiritual strength, inward strength to continue to live for Christ. And this is an encouragement also when you pray for others. Yes, pray for their physical needs, but don't forget the spiritual ones. Pray that our brothers and sisters in Christ might be strengthened inwardly. What shall it profit if a man gets out of the hospital and yet remains dead spiritually? What will it profit a man if a man is healed from a disease and yet inwardly, spiritually, he's struggling? Oh, but if somebody is struggling physically and inwardly, they're rejoicing in the Lord and they are walking in a way that is pleasing to God. So let us remember through trying times and all times to pray for spiritual quickening, for spiritual understanding, also for spiritual strength. And then a fourth prayer request we see in verse 29, he also prays, remove from me the way of lying. This might seem that it is suggesting that the psalmist is a habitual liar and that he needs help in this area of his Christian life. Well, that's not what it's saying. No, it is rather, upon examining himself, he desires to live more holy. He is desiring to live like the Apostle Paul, who says that he desires to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And so he is praying here, remove from me the way of lying, praying that God will remove every false, deceitful, hypocritical way from his life. It's a prayer for holiness. We all have the propensity to falsehood. We all have the propensity to be hypocrites, to act one way before one person and then put on a mask and act another way in front of another person. But we need to be sincere. And we need to be honest in our Christian life. Oh, it's easy to live one way at home and then come to church and pretend to live another way among the church family. But David here desires to walk even before his own house in integrity and character. And we need this as well, that we would pray for a sincere heart, that we would walk before God in honesty. And we will see later in this series, he prays two more times in Psalm 104, and Psalm 119, 104, and Psalm 119, 128. He repeats the same phrases there. He says, I hate every false way. I hate every false way. So he wants nothing to do with living a life of hypocrisy, living a life of sin, living a life of deceit. No, his desire is to walk before God in truth. And notice the correlation between prayer and the Word. In these few petitions that we have studied tonight, notice the correlation of prayer and the Word. David is praying that God will do a mighty work in his heart and life. And we cannot pray aright if we do not read and obey God's Word. We cannot pray, quicken me, teach me, and give me strength, and expect our prayers to be answered if we neglect the Word of God. Okay, if there's one thing I want you to take home with you tonight, understand that. We pray to God, Lord, help me, strengthen me, bless me, teach me. But how can God answer those prayers if we neglect the main source of strength, blessing, and wisdom, being the Word of God? So prayer and the Word of God go hand in hand. There are two spiritual parents that lead us to Christ, lead us in a sweet relationship with God, and we need this. We teach the children's song, don't we? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Sometimes I think we need to sing that here in church and to the older congregation. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you will sink, sink, sink. So we need the Word of God, and we need prayer. God communicates to us through His Word. We communicate to God through prayer. And these two are the main means whereby we fellowship with God and walk with Him. That's the first point. Let me quickly give you the next two points. Second point tonight, the psalmist's past devotion to the Word of God. We see this in verses 30 and 31. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. He uses those two words again, verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. I have chosen the way of truth. This is reminding us of what we have already learned in our past lesson, that obedience is a choice. God does not put His hands around our throat and say, you're going to obey me whether you like it or not. You're going to church on Sunday whether you like it or not. No, obedience is a choice, and the psalmist here has chosen to walk in the way of God's path. I have chosen the way of truth. I have stuck unto thy testimony. And also we are reminded of the truth that we saw in a couple weeks past, that we reap what we sow. He's using the past tense. I have. And we saw that current spiritual habits will affect future spiritual habits. If we want to walk with God in the future, we need to walk with God now. If we want to have a home that is God-fearing in the future for our children, our teenagers, or young adults, we need to have a home that is godly now. I have. And we will walk in the direction that our toes are pointed. So we need to be resolved. We see his devotion to the Word of God in the past, and now we see his devotion in the Word of God in the present. The psalmist's past devotion to the Word of God. Thirdly, tonight, the psalmist's present resolve to the Word of God. Again, these truths are repeating themselves, and how much we need to be repeated of God's Word. We need that reminded. We need that reminder of God's truth. And so he's going to give us truth after truth after truth that we've already understood. And because this is the way of understanding, the psalmist's present resolve to the Word of God. Verse 32. What are the first two words? I will. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. He is choosing not to crawl toward the commandments of God, not to walk toward God's word, not to jog to the commandments of God, but to run. See how the words, even in Scripture, are filled with so much meaning. I will run. What does running speak of? It speaks of a hastening, a desire. He is devoting himself entirely like a runner on a racetrack, giving every piece of energy that he has to get to the finish line and finish first. So the psalmist says, I will run the way of God's commandment. I'm going to seek to obey the word of God so fervently. And this is really a spirit that kicks against the spirit of lukewarmness. It kicks against the spirit of a casual spirit. Oh, there are many Christians who are just lukewarm, casual. I'll go to church when I want to. I'll read the Bible when I want to. I'll pray when I get to it. But we see here the psalmist is running to the Word of God, running to obey the Word of God. This is his heart's desire. This is his devotion. And I need to stop there. And so we need to ask, will you run the way of God's commandments? Are you running? Or are you walking? Are you crawling? Are you jogging? Oh, let us run. Jesus says the greatest commandment is to what? Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what it means to run the way of God's commandments. With every fiber of your being, and though we fail and though we will stumble, but with every fiber of your being, to seek God and to seek him earnestly each and every day, running the way of God's commandments, there is a resolve. He says, I will. You can't change what other people will do. You can't focus on whether they will run the race or not or how fast they will run it. But you can focus on yourself. And I pray that we will be resolved like the psalmist and say, I will. I'm going to serve God whether anybody else does it or not. I'm going to seek him and his word. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful through this trial, through my pain, whether others will or not. Because I know God is with me. God will reward me. For further study, if you would like homework, there are seven different words in this section that are synonymous to God's word. I challenge you to look them up. I challenge you to study them and see how they correspond with one another. Those words are word, statutes, precepts, law, judgments, testimonies, commandments. If you want further homework, further study in God's Word here, study those individual words and see how they apply to the believer's life. So by way of review, let me review the last four lessons. The first two lessons, I gave you statements to remember that go along with the Psalms. Those statements were, holiness is the way to happiness. God gives commands, not suggestions. Obedience is a choice. Personal holiness ought to be the fruit of personal devotions. Current spiritual habits will affect future spiritual habits. One's commitment to the Word of God will reveal their commitment to the God of the Word. And last week and this week, we look at themes. And last week, we saw the theme of prayer, pride, and persecution. And this week, we looked at prayer, devotion, and resolve. So much in the Word of God. I need to stop there. But I pray that this will only cause you to go back in the Word and study it, and meditate upon it, and memorize it. And I pray that God will bless the reading and the teaching of His Word tonight.